Welcome to Tuesday Talk with
Blog Talk Radio.
Louis Strong. What a day. I wrote in my daily blog yesterday morning, keywestfood.com. If you don't read it, try reading it. Take the time. It's 20 seconds. You'll enjoy it. Trust me. You read it 3 days, you will read it every day. It's only about my life in Key West. But I did mention in yesterday's blog that I did around 9 in the morning that, you know, I prepare a script for this show, this Blog Talk Radio show. I prepare a script for my television internet show Friday morning. And at the last minute, I have to change things all the time because things happen in the last 24 hours that have a greater importance than anything else I would have talked about. And so that brings me to what? That brings me to the Boston Marathon, which occurred after my blog was published yesterday morning. The Boston Marathon. I don't understand why people do this. Why men kill other people, kill children, kill innocents. For no reason at all. Maybe in their perverted minds there is a reason. Maybe it's for the good of a particular cause from a foreign land. Maybe it's just a sick person who's a citizen of the United States who thinks it's funny or it satisfies whatever his need is inside him to blow up and injure almost 200 people and kill a few along the way also. It's insane, though. Absolute, pure, unadulterated insanity. Look what happened yesterday. Two bombs in some kind of vinyl black bag containing carpenter nails, small ball bearings. They were those pellets that we used in BB guns when I was a kid. Nails, little knives, and objects like that, shrapnel. This thing was done in a pressure cooker that your wife uses or my wife used to use or your girlfriend or your mother uses to cook meat all day so it's nice and tender in the evening. And the bombs went off within probably 100 yards of each other and did a lot of damage. The kind of damage they did to the human body, these bombs, was the same as our soldiers suffered in Afghanistan and in Iraq. So from my perspective, Afghanistan and Iraq existed, visited on Boston Street yesterday morning. And now, we all hear and have heard all day about the 8-year-old boy who was killed. He was there with his mother and sister to watch his father race. His father just completed the race. The 8-year-old boy went up to congratulate him, was going back to his mother and sister. And they show his picture. Lovely kid. Reminds me of my, I have an 8-year-old grandson. I have a 7-year-old granddaughter. He's missing teeth, this kid. Reminds me of my grandchildren. And he was killed. He was instantly killed, this 8-year-old, an innocent. You can't argue he's an innocent. Just because he was there on a happy day watching his dad. What we haven't heard that much on television is who else in his family was harmed. His 3-year-old sister lost a leg as a result of this bombing. He dies, 8 years old. His 3-year-old sister loses a leg. Even worse, the mother got shrapnel or some metal in her head. She was one of the first to have immediate surgery yesterday. She had brain surgery. Here's a total family. The comeback's going to be hard. This destruction's going to be with them the rest of their lives. The father's the only one who's in good shape. He's going to carry a guilt complex, I'll tell you, the rest of his life. Why did I run in this race? My children wouldn't have come down or my wife come down to see me if I hadn't done this. His wife's going to feel guilty if she recovers, and we assume she is, the rest of her life because she didn't protect her children properly. What could she have done? But I want you to know, it isn't just the 8-year-old boy in that family. His sister lost a leg. and his mother had brain surgery. Now, again, I got to say, this is insanity. I don't understand this. What about the two brothers? These weren't kids. These weren't children. That they look like they're 25 to 35, their picture. Two brothers standing near the finish line where the bombs went off, watching the marathon. Both brothers lost a leg. Each one lost a leg beneath the knee, below the knee, rather. Wild. It's at 5 o'clock tonight, and this disaster occurred yesterday when about 1 o'clock. It's at 5 o'clock this evening, more than 30 hours later. Their mother still had not seen them. The surgery's taken place, but they're still under heavy sedation and I don't know what else. Mom was not let in the room to even see her two sons because that's just the way it had to be, the doctor said. I'm not saying this is a cruel thing. It's a cruel thing that it happened. It's a cruel thing she can't see her sons yet. But that's how severe this whole thing is. Now, the number of injured is up already. It's up to over 170, and the dead, fortunately, only remain at 3. You know, in Afghanistan and Iraq, the bombs went off, and you know how many of our fellas and girls who have come back from the war, from those two places, they're missing a leg or two, and they have those new type prostheses, and you can see them. They get along well, but they lost their legs below the knee, because these bombs are fixed to hurt you below, from knee level down. Now, you say, this shouldn't happen. How do we stop it? I don't think we can ever stop this sort of thing. I'm going to say something you probably will not agree with, but I think it's inherent in man's nature to kill. From Cain and Abel all the way down to present day, man is always warring someplace on this earth. Countries are fighting, tribes are fighting, nations are fighting. It has been rare where the whole world has been at peace. World War I was the war to end all wars. World War II was to accomplish the same thing. Then the United Nations was going to make sure there was never a war again because people would sit and talk and work out their differences. But nothing works. I don't know why. Maybe the have-nots want what the haves have. That's part of it, I believe, but that's not all of it. Again, I just think it's man's nature to fight. This is what the beast has in it. We all have a bit of this in us, I believe. And I don't think we're ever going to stop this. So all we can do, but it's a lot we have to do, is protect ourselves. I don't think there was anything more that could have been done in Boston. Unless the authorities had letters saying there's going to be a bombing of this sort, et cetera, et cetera. It had to be even more than a warning of a bombing. I'm sure everything was done that could have been done. I'm confident that whoever did this, whether it's an isolated nut in the United States or it's some terrorist group from abroad, they're going to be identified. They are going to be caught. They are going to be tried. They are going to be punished for their wrongdoing. Because I know. I mean, everybody's working on this case. I don't expect an answer in 24 or 48 hours. But whoever done this, and I got to put it that way, I can't see how they can't get caught. They're going to take all these nails and these ball bearings and pieces of knife and metal and the crock pot. And before you know it, they're going to know where all this stuff came from, where it's manufactured, where it was bought. And there's going to be a paper trail, and it's going to lead to X, whoever X is. And that's the way it goes. A tragedy. Now, there was a third bombing yesterday. The media hasn't written much on this. It was at the JFK Library in Boston. No one was hurt, and no one knows if it's related to the other two bombings. And I would suspect they're assuming it was not at this moment because we don't hear anything about it. But why would we? No one got hurt. And apparently there wasn't much damage. If you want to discuss, if you would like to discuss the Boston Marathon with me, if you'd like to discuss my thoughts about man being inherently an animal who likes to fight, because we rarely have had total peace in this world. And again, I go back to biblical times. Cain and Abel started it all, I think. probably Eve started it all when she talked to the serpent and convinced Adam to bite into the apple. That really started the whole train of events. But be that as it may, man kills man, and man enjoys killing man. Otherwise, he wouldn't do this. Call me if you like. The number is 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. I'm happy to hear your comments. I'm happy to hear what you have to say. If you want to talk about something else, call me. I'm here to talk with you if that's what you would like to do. I'm going to move on to another topic now. But interrupt me if you want to talk about Boston Marathon. It doesn't make any difference. The Pope, the new Pope, Pope Francis, and Catholic nuns. I am a Catholic. I was taught in grammar school by Catholic nuns, by the Brown Franciscans. I was taught in high school by nuns, by the Sisters of Charity. They're a French order, and they have this white wings on their head, huge white wings. I went to a Catholic college. I was taught by the Christian Brothers. My church is screwed up, and I'm not a good Catholic. I say that openly. I am a fallen away Catholic. I do not believe in God. It just means that for many years there's something wrong between me and my church, and I don't know what it is. I believe in God. I pray. I still pray, but I don't want to go to church. Anyhow, we have a new Pope, Pope Francis. He's a Jesuit. Everyone was excited because he was from Argentina. He's outside of Europe. He's a simple man. He was taking the subway or bus to his office every day. He's a cardinal of the Catholic Church. He's an archbishop down there, Argentina. He becomes cardinal. He doesn't live in the palace where the Pope lives. He has a little bland apartment somewhere. He doesn't want all the finery, and he doesn't even wear the clothes the Pope used to wear. And still, no one yet knows whether he has had red shoes made, which is the traditional shoe of a Pope for 2,000 years. And everybody said, gee, this is a humble man. This is St. Francis, because he took Francis's name. And St. Francis was a very wealthy man who gave all his money to the poor and spent his life taking care of the poor. He loved animals, and he took care of the poor. And this new Pope, Pope Francis, appears to be like him. And it was thought he was going to bring change to the church, dramatic change, because the church is in trouble. I mean, they got bank problems. They're accused of money laundering. They've got the pedophilia problem. And they've got other problems that sort of been buried. How many of you heard about the money laundering problem? It's been going on for 4 or 5 years. The authorities, the Italian authorities, have already grabbed $20 million out of the church's banks. They have their own bank, Vatican Bank, because it was purported to be bad money, and they're holding it during the course of the investigation. $20 million is not a light sum. I don't feel like everyone else does. I don't think this Pope is going to see what I believe he has to see today, and I would assume a lot of Catholics agree with me. And that's not important whether anyone agrees with me, Catholic or not. I said this Pope, he is a Jesuit. Jesuits are a special order. They started in the 1600s. They are they're very intelligent. They're considered the intelligentsia of Catholic priests. They are well-educated. They have booming minds, and they're very doctrinaire. When they read the Bible precisely. There is no room for interpretation. Everything is black and white. Nothing is gray. Now, there are some areas of religion, I would believe my religion, that have to be black and white. But most things in life are gray. We all know this from our everyday experiences. Life isn't black and white. It's gray. It's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I didn't think this new Pope was going to pay attention to the gray. It had to be black and white because he's a trained Jesuit. That's all he's been all his life. Doctrinaire. He may love to take care of the poor, but he's going to be doctrinaire. And the social problems that we are concerned with in the United States, he wants to feed the poor. When he talks about feeding the poor, he's talking about feeding the poor in Africa, the Middle East and South America. We don't have the same kind of war. We have four, but not the same kind. He's not concerned about birth control. He's not concerned about gay marriage. These things aren't on his plate because these are not his experiences. He's an Argentine priest, and he lived in poverty with impoverished persons. And it said, this is not going to work for American Catholics. And lo and behold, he's only been Pope, what, a month and a half, 2 months? He said yesterday, Pope Francis, that he supported the crackdown on American nuns and that they had to toe the line. This is Lewis's words when we say they had to toe the line. And what am I talking about? The nuns in this country are tough, the Catholic nuns. When I was going to school and I had Catholic nuns teaching me, they were tough. Let me tell you, many today I got my knuckles cracked with a ruler. I had to stay after school. They were disciplinarians. I want to say disciplinarians. But there's been a transition. They were God-fearing. They were loving women. Don't get me wrong. They were loving. I loved every nun I had teaching me. I loved her as an individual. But the nuns decided at some point in my life, and I'm 77 years old. My cousin, by the way, was a black Franciscan who died last year of cancer. And she was in Syracuse, New York, at her mother's house, and teaching in a school in Syracuse. And at some point over the last 50 years, the nuns in this country got together and said, we're not doing that much good by just teaching school. We're not doing that much good by wearing the cassock they wear or the gowns they wear and the thing on their head. And when we're not teaching, we spend all our time on our knees in prayer. They said, we're not doing enough. We've got to go out into the streets. We have to go into the poor neighborhoods, into the denied and deprived neighborhoods. And we have to help the people there at grassroots level. The nuns also came to the conclusion, that it was not proper for them to wear their uniform, their gowns, the things on their heads. They could better communicate with the mass of people that were trying to help if they wore everyday clothes. My cousin did this. So the nuns started wearing clothes like everybody else, not fancy clothes, but clothes, a dress, slacks, a sweater. And they stopped living in the nunneries, which were very beautiful. I was in two nunneries while I was in grammar school and high school. We always went to the nunnery. Happy to go help the nuns. Anything they wanted, we did. That's all we got in the nunnery. Not to live in the safety, the protection, the meat, three meals on the table every day of the nunnery. They left the nunnery, the nuns. They changed the clothes. They moved into the poor neighborhoods, and they lived like the poor people. That was my cousin Rose. And they all did it in this country. And because they became intimate with the poor people of this country, they became aware, critically aware, of their problems. Church says don't practice birth control. Is it better to bring six or eight kids into the world and not be able to support them, feed them? Church doesn't believe in divorce. But yet the church, the Catholic Church, if you've got $2,500 and you've got the time, it's not that hard. It's hard and easy. You can get an annulment on some grounds that your marriage was fraudulent, so you can remarry. You're not breaking any rules because if your marriage is annulled, it didn't exist in the first place. It's a church annulment. That don't fly. I mean, let everybody get an annulment if it's proper with no money and make it easy, or don't make it just easy for those who can afford. Homosexuality. Well, the church has got a problem with homosexuality, with pedophilia priests, which has been going on into our second generation now, which has been covered up. But there's a further issue, and it's one that we are facing in the United States today. Same-sex marriage, gay marriage. If two people love each other, why shouldn't they marry? I mean, we're at that stage. Legally, it's going to be decided. It doesn't mean the church has to follow the rules. the nuns in this country, this is where I'm going, my friends, the nuns who left the nunnery, the safety and protection of the nunnery, who left their habits and their things on their heads, stopped teaching school, put on the clothes of the people, moved into the poor neighborhood, lived in the poor apartments with the poor people, they support, to some degree, gay marriage. They are all for birth control, all right? Do you see where I'm going? And these nuns have openly said 2 years ago, or last year, they came out and said, we don't agree with the Pope and with Rome. Well, Rome and the Pope are men. These are a bunch of women. Women are supposed to be subordinate and submissive, at least from the Catholic Church's perspective. And the Pope told the American College of Bishops or something, and he had some bishop he appointed here in the United States to investigate this matter, and the bishop did. And he and the Pope got together, and whoever else in Rome was dealing with this at the male N-M-A-L-E. And the new Pope has said, the bishops are right. You girls are wrong. You nuns are wrong. Shape up. No more doing what you've been doing. Now, I don't know if that takes more away from living with the poor, but what they're saying about gay marriage, about birth control, and things of that nature, you can't do that anymore. You will be disciplined and punished. This is Lewis's words. Again, these are Lewis's words, but this, in effect, what he's saying. This just broke this week, the Pope's position. I'm going to tell you something. Don't screw with these ladies. I'm 77. I have learned never argue with a woman. You can't win. And especially if they believe they have a cause and it is a righteous cause. I don't see the Pope, the bishops and the male priests, male papacy in Rome, beating down these ladies. I think they'll end up taking a beating, but they say, fine, if this is the way you feel, church, Catholic Church, we have a schism. We have a separation. We'll do our thing. We're not part of you then. It's sad. Doesn't mean we don't love God. But this is a time when I believe that I must do things this way because this is what God wants me to do. So it's coming. The nun said in response to the Pope this week, we'll continue to talk and negotiate with the bishops. That isn't going to last long. There is a schism. There is a break that's going to develop further over the next couple of years, in my opinion. Now, how does that work? Is there anyone that wants to talk to me about the Boston Marathon, about the popes and the Catholic nuns in the United States? If so, give me a call. 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. I've got to tell you something. This show is less than 3 months old. I haven't been doing this. I haven't been doing this 12 weeks yet, maybe 10 weeks. The first night, six people listened to me. It's a shocker. Well, we're up in the 1300s, 1400s now. We're up to 2000 something one week. And it dropped back to 1400. Maybe that extra 600 didn't like what they heard. But we're moving up again. That was a shot up in 1 week. But basically, we're up around 1400 now, and it keeps growing. This show is archived. It's available 24 hours a day. It is promoted on 8 different sites, okay? Read what Lou has to say in his blog, talk radio show, blah, 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 2 to 4 times a day on these 8 sites. And would you believe that most of the people who listen to the show, most of you, are not listening to me tonight, Tuesday night at 9, but you pick it up during the week on the archive show. I get stats on this every week, and they're fantastic, these numbers. So whatever, glad you're joining me. If you enjoy it, tell your friends to listen in too, whether it be directly this evening or during the week on the archive show. Okay, what do we talk about now? How about Guantanamo? Burns my butt. Do you know there's about 30 prisoners down there right now? How long have we had Guantanamo, by the way? 10 years? 12 years? Bush. Obama said he was going to close it. 5 years now, he kept it open. I think it soils the American image. It taints the American image. It's not America to have a place like Guantanamo. All right? I don't care how bad these people are. I think it's terrible that none of these people get a trial. I don't care if they get it in a military court or in a civil court, but let them get a trial. And then if they're wrong, you put them in a jail someplace. You don't keep them on Guantanamo on the island of Puerto Rico. Now, about 30 of these people have been in jail for 8, 10, 12 years, have gone on a hunger strike. The hunger strike started in February. Now we're into April. They are being fed intravenously, or they are being fed by a food tube of some sort put into their neck and then down into their stomach. They're secured down on a bed, held down, tied down. This is terrible. This isn't America. This isn't the United States. But one of them said, and I quote, "I will not eat till they restore my dignity. I will not eat till they restore my dignity." There might be something to be said for that. I mean, the way they're feeding him isn't dignified. The fact they don't give him a trial isn't dignified. The fact they keep him in jail for 8 or 10 years without a hearing is not dignified. What are we doing? Now, there must be a good reason for not bringing him to trial or closing down Guantanamo, because Obama was all for it in his first campaign. He must have found out something we don't know. If we have to have Guantanamo, then tell us all the facts and tell us the truth. If it's just because you don't know where to send these people, the other countries that are involved against Al-Qaeda don't want them. France didn't want them. England didn't want them. Or they only would take one or two prisoners. Or it's a political problem because we're going to jail them in California or Idaho or someplace. They don't want them in their jails in their states. And where are we going to try them civilly? You can't try them in New York because New York is upset that they're going to come and they're going to bomb the courthouse in New York City if we try some of these people. Yeah, we have tried some of them, and nothing got blown up, and there was no disturbance. Get rid of Guantanamo. It is a dirty spot on the American record. Okay. Tell you about North Korea. What do you think about North Korea? Things are heating up there. We got a 27-year-old kid running the country, my God. And he's doing what his father and grandfather did. He's blustering and threatening. They don't have the nuclear bomb yet. They don't have the means of even bringing the nuclear bomb to our shore. But I read this morning or yesterday morning that now it's been determined, and they've known this, that they do have the capacity missile-wise to reach the United States. All right. Well, Senator McCain, I admire him as a war hero. I think he's become a nut in his old age with the way he acts as a senator. Sometimes, though, he becomes the McCain of old men. And he said yesterday, he says, things are heating up. As soon as their missile leaves the coastline of North Korea, we should shoot it down. We had the capacity. Shoot it there. Don't screw around. I agree with Senator McCain. Why should we have in San Francisco what just happened in Boston yesterday? Something like that. All right, we're coming shortly to the end of this week. I got about a minute left. I'm glad you joined me. I would like, if you enjoyed the show, you might want to look at my television internet show, which I do Friday mornings at 10 o'clock. You have to read my blog to find out where all this is, because I can't give you the site numbers or you wouldn't remember. Read KeyWestLew.com in the morning, my daily blog. I write at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. It's what I did the day before. I went out and had dinner. I had 3 drinks too many. I went dancing. I played with my grandchildren. I played with the new dog, Jake. I tell you my life at Key West. I think you will enjoy it. And in there, I tell you how to find everything else I do, the newspaper column I write and so forth. And if you enjoyed the show, then you'll enjoy those. I thank you very much for joining me this week. I look forward to being with you again next week. Good night.